Okay, we're up to Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi, Kasher Shoma Sanbalat V'Tovia, V'Ho Arvim, V'Ho Amoinim, V'Ho Ashtodim. We have five different categories of people which have now become aware that the construction of the wall is taking place. Now this Perek Dalet is going back to the beginning of Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, we're up to Perek Dalet, Nehemiah Perek Dalet. The beginning of Perek Dalet. The Perek Dalet is going back to the beginning of Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, we learned about Nehemiah dividing up the circumference of the wall, the perimeter, to different groups of people, different families. Different people were assigned sections of the wall. And the wall, the Perek Dalet concludes that they succeeded. The wall was completed. And the people had a desire to go forward and to complete the wall. But now we're going back and telling us what happened in the process. It was not an easy process. After everyone was assigned a task, a section to build, then there was a threat of war. And who led the war? Four or five different groups of people. Sanballat. Sanballat headed the Shomronim, who he called the Kusim. He had a very strong following. The Tovia. Tovia had another group of people, which we learned about. He represented a different group of people, which if we go back to the beginning of Perek Gimel, I believe. Okay, I don't remember the exact name. I should have looked it up. But we have each of these people represented a group of people. So there's Sanballat, he represented Shomron. Tovia, he represented another group of people. The Arvim, these I guess what we call the Arabs, the Arabians. V'ho Amoinim, nation of Amoin. V'ho Ashtoidim, Ashtoidim were the Pelishtim. Ashtoid was related to the Pelishtim. The Pelishtim were long gone. David HaMelech wiped out most of the Pelishtim, but there were some pockets, some remnants related to the Ashdodim who remained. And these five groups, Sanballat, Tovia, Arvim, Amoinim, Ashdodim, they heard, Ki Olsa Arucha L'Choy Masi Yerushalayim. Arucha is a very unusual word. It means healing, a refuah. The Mitzudas translates this, or Rashi will see, translates this as a bandage. A bandage and medicine that one takes for healing. It's typically used to refer to the healing of bones. A person has a broken bone, and they put the bone in a cast where it was wrapped in a very strong cloth in order to keep it in place so that it should heal. The bone, the broken segment, shall fuse. That's what the word arucha is used for. So here it's a borrowed term. It's very interesting, very curious why Nehemiah borrowed the word arucha, which is typically used for healing. It's in the Gemara, all over the place. Very common in the Gemara. Arucha, for physical healing, it's been used to describe the wall of Yerushalayim. The wall of Yerushalayim was sick, was ill. Its bones were broken. The consistency of the wall surrounding Yerushalayim was cut. There were breaches, and these breaches needed to be repaired. And the way we describe the repair is with this term called arucha. It's now healing. They came to learn that it was healing l'chaim as Yerushalayim. Ki ol sarucha l'chaim as Yerushalayim. That healing has gone up to the wall of Yerushalayim because ki hechelu haperutzim lihisoser, and the perutzim. Now, what does this mean exactly? We'll see in Rashi in a few moments. Rashi learns the prutsa means the people living in an unwalled city now have shelter. If not for Rashi, I think you would translate the pasuk simpler. The prutsa means the breaches in the wall itself. We don't focus so much on the people living inside the wall of the city, but rather focus on the wall itself. That the breaches now, the hisosim, are going to be sealed. But again, that's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns to focus on the people living inside the wall of Yerushalayim. Until now, they were considered to be a city that's an Orei Mifuzoros. If we learn from the Megillah, the Orei Mifuzoros and the Orei Chaymos. The Orim Mifuzoros celebrate Purim on the 14th day because that's when they went to war. That's when they were spared from their enemies. And the people of Shushan, they were in a walled city. And indeed, originally, look at the Megillah carefully, the Mepharshim explained that originally when they wanted to celebrate the miracle of Purim the following year, or subsequent years, the holiday was only accepted by the people living in the unwalled cities. Because they only truly sensed the greatness of the miracle. Because they were threatened. People who lived in unwalled cities had nowhere to hide, nowhere to protect themselves. So they had a much greater salvation than the people living in walled cities. So it took a longer period of time for the people living in the walled cities to agree, to accept upon themselves, to celebrate the miracle of Purim. So here we have exactly this idea being expressed, that the people living in Yerushalayim were unprotected, they were vulnerable, and now when Sanballat and his comrades, they got word that the people that were thus far unprotected, were vulnerable. Now they are in a situation of lehi sosem, where they are protected. They were very angry. And the Farshim point has something very interesting. The procession. If you go back to Perek Gimel and you look at Pasuk Yud, I believe. No, it's not Pasuk. Go back to Perek Beis. I'm sorry, Perek Beis. I think it's Pasuk Yud. When they first heard of what's happening, you hear it, it's Pasuk Yud. There are three reactions of Sanballat. So Pasuk Perek Beis, Pasuk Vayishma Sanballat HaChoroni. He represents the Charoni, the nation which were the Shomroinim. V'tovia Eved HaAmon, he was from Ammon. Ammon, even though it says here in Pasuk Perek Daled, there's the Ammonim, but there's also Tovia, he was in charge of the Ammonim. However, Ammoni Vayera Lohem Ro'ogidola. The first reaction was, it was evil in their eyes. Then we go to Pasuk Yutes in Perek Beis. Vayishma Sanballat Hachoroni V'tovio Evramoni V'geshem Ho'arvi Vayal Igulanu, and they mocked us. Vayivzu Aleinu Vayomu Ma'ad V'azashatem Oisim Ha'al Melech Atem Ordin. Mockery. And now we have the third step in Pasuk Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayichar Lohem Me'od. Process, a procession. First, Vayera, it's evil in their eyes. Number two, the next step is Makri, Vayal Igu. And then when they see that they're continuing, they're successful, they can keep on building the wall, now Vayichar. Now they get really angry. So it's a very interesting psychological insight into a person's reaction to how when things don't go according to what? How when things don't go according to plan, how do they react? First, Vayichar Lohem. It's not Lashon. Vayichar.
It's the verb. No, but Vayichar could be. And he got angry.
So not Vayicharu. I guess it means that collectively, it's a group of people.
Never says like Haru ever,
right?
So it's
collectively, they were angry. So it's a procession, process. First is Vayera, it was evil. There's no anger. There's just Vayera. Then mockery, leitzanis, vayal igu. You're not going to succeed. You're going to give life to dead stones. And now, when the process continues and they are successful, and the walls are going up, now they get angry. It's a very interesting insight into human psychology, the three different stages of how one reacts to a situation that's not going according to his plan or his liking. Pasuk Bey. So what do they do? Vayikshiru chulam yachta. This is a very popular word in Sefer Melachim. They formed a conspiracy. A conspiracy. Vayikshiru chulam yachta. All of the enemies, these five different groups. It's not really five groups because Tovia is the leader of the Ammonim. I don't know, maybe he was separate, but we have here in this Pasuk Aleph five groups. Sanballat, Tovia, are the Arvim, Ammonim. Tovia was an Eved Ammoni. So I guess our Tovia represented another group. And the Ashdodim, these five groups together, Vayikshu Chulam Yachtav, they all conspired, Lavo to come, Lilochem B'Yerushalayim, to wage war, V'lasos Lo To'a. To'a means a mistake, an error. To err. Now, what's the word lo? Lo cannot be referring to the chomer. Who is lo to make a lo against him? So lo cannot be referring to Yerushalayim or the wall of Yerushalayim, because then it would say lasos lo to'a. It would be more grammatically correct to say lo. So the word lo, the commentators explain, lo means against the Jewish people. They wanted to make against the Am, the nation. They're realizing that they are succeeding, they conspire to wage war, and to dampen their spirits, to cause them to make mistakes. To make mistakes in their assessment of their will to succeed in building the wall of a city. To cause them to make mistakes. Yeah.
To wander. So this could mean
to cause them to go back where they came from. Okay, go off track. To go off track from their plans, or even to wander away from Yerushalayim. No. It's with the tough. Toa.
It's with a test. If somebody makes a mistake, it's with a test. So Toa means here to wander.
To wander?
Yeah, to wander around.
Hamabalbel bedalta lebli das mayase kori toa v'chein toisi kose ovid. I wandered like a lost sheep. Okay, to wander. Toisi is to wander off, to wander away from your path, from your destination, from your desired goal. So they conspired to go to war. So it's a very important expression. Lehilochim bisham. It was not just a conspiracy to make trouble. They wanted to wage a war. The pasuk is very explicit. Nothing less than a war. Lilochem b'Yerushalayim v'la'asos lo, and to make for the Jewish people Torah, to cause them to wander in a different direction. Pasuk Gimel. So what was the reaction? The Jewish response is tefillah. Nehemiah is telling us very important. Everything in Nehemiah, as we mentioned, this is the last section of Tanakh, if I'm not mistaken. This is in a timeline. This is the last section of Tanakh, of the Ksuvim, and the messages here are the last messages that he's giving for Klal Yisrael to guide us through Golas. When there is a threat of war, the first thing is Vanispalel El Elokeinu. The first thing is prayer, and the second thing is Hishtadlus. And the Hishtadlus is to set up an army. Vanamid Mishmar Aleihem Yoimam V'Laila Mipnehem. You just can't rely upon Tefillah. You have to have Tefillah together with Hishtadlus. But what comes first? What's the Iker? The Iker is Tefillah, the Hishtadlus is second. What was the Hishtadlus? So we're going to have a very long, elaborate the description of what they did for their Hishtadlus. But first here it's generalized in Mishmar, a guard, La'alehem, upon them. There are two opinions in the commentators what the word Aleihem refers to. One approach is Aleihem refers to the people that were building the wall, the Jewish people. We set up an army to protect the builders. And some want to translate, the Ralbach translates, Aleihem means against the enemy. To guard, to be vigilant, to see what is the enemy planning. We have to, they have all these organizations, they media watch, right? The media, all these different organizations, which they sit like hawks, and they watch how the media reports the news, and they respond. They respond by reporting inaccuracies and lies and bias and so on and so forth.
You didn't want to compare it to an organization, maybe.
Jewish Defense League? Okay, they have a different agenda. They have a... Okay, all right. I'm not going to get any comments here. No, I have no problem. A camera. That's what I was referring to. Camera, right. That's what I was really referring to. Okay. V'namid mishmar aleihem yomam v'layla. I have nothing bad to say about any organization. You got the wrong guy here. So, a disclaimer. Who am I to speak? V'nam aleihem mishmar aleihem, against them, against... Again, a mishmar means a guard, an army to guard the Jewish people who are building the wall. Or a mishmar, an agency to guard, to be vigilant. What do our enemies have in store for us? How can we protect ourselves? What can we do to spare ourselves from the harm that may come our way? Yoimam volayla, day and night, mipnehem, from them. Now let's see some of the Rashi's from Aleph through Pasuk Gimel. Rashi Pasuk Aleph, ki ol sarucha, the enemies were disturbed that the wall is being rebuilt. Arucha, what is this unusual word? Inyin choivosh. Choivosh means a bandage. It means like a cast. a cast, chayvish, to tie up. You take a piece of cloth and you wrap it around a broken bone. Usurufa, healing. Like you said, very unusual that we're describing the wall with these expressions of human expressions of life. Like we learned last week where Sanballat was complaining, can Hashem give can the Jews give life to dead stones? So here the answer is yes. Not only is there going to be life, the stones that are wounded, that are not feeling well, will now have healing and come back to life. So it's a very interesting poetic expression that Nehemiah is employing in these psukim. Ki hechelu haparutzim lihisosem. So we explain that. Hechelu anshiriya. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi does not learn that the wall is being repaired. That's not the issue. Who cares about the wall? He cares about the people. The people within the wall now have shelter. Asher hischilu anshei ho'ir shehoyu pirutz. And pirutzim does not mean the wall is physically breached. The people that were considered to be the orei pirutzim, cities, people living anshei orei pirutzim, now ad ata me'ein choma hoyu ata sisumim bebina choma. Now they're going to be protected with the wall. Pasuk beis v'laso slo to'ah and. Velaso slow to awe and Sanballat and Tovia and all of these enemies, they conspire to wage war and lasso slow. So who's low? So Rashi learns lasso slow to do against the Jewish people. Lo has to mean the Am. The Binyan Achama concerning the Binyan Achama. How are they going to cause the Jewish people how are they going to do harm by preventing them from constructing the wall? The Binyan Achama kilkul vihashchasa, destruction. Toa, what does it mean? Toa, kamal uladaber el Hashem. Toa, to speak to Hashem something Toa which is incorrect. Toa means. Okay, I know it's said with a tes, but it appears that the word it's the tof has a similar related meaning to wander. And when a person makes a mistake, that is really what you have done. When you make a mistake, you are wandering off the correct path. So these are the Samaritans. These are the people that are living in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Gospel. The neighbors of Yerushalayim, which include the Shomroinim. The Shomroinim were the people that were brought there 200 years ago by Ashur. When Ashur exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, he replaced them with the people of Cush. And the people of Cush took up the land, they occupied the land of primarily of Shomron. Shomron was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. So the Aseres HaShvatim could have been in numbers in the millions. We don't know the exact numbers. Certainly hundreds of thousands were exiled or killed. Many of them, there were three different stages of Golos. That we learned in Yeshaya. Three different stages of exile that would tap into the Aseres HaShvatim. But they were replaced with the people from Cush. And Cush, they took up residence in these lands, which had its capital in Shomron, and they now were known as the Shomronim, and they were really called Cushim in Chazal's terminology, the Cusim and the Shomronim, the Samaritans, and their leader was this person called the Sanballat. And they were the dominant force in the region. And then when the Nebuchadnezzar came 125 years after they were put there, a long time, many already a few generations of people, great grandchildren living there, they were very pleased, obviously. The Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim was Charaf, and there was really no one living in Yerushalayim for 52 years. And then when Koresh issued this proclamation, then you can return, they were very upset because they felt that when the Jewish people from Babel returned to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to tell the Shomronim, get lost, this is not your land. And the Shomronim were partially Jewish, some of them did convert, some of them didn't convert, it was sincere, it was not sincere. That was one people to be dealt with. And then there were five other groups. We have over here the Arvim, Arabs. There were Arabs that were living there. I don't know exactly, it was the north, south, east, west, another section of people.
Well, they wandered around.
They were nomads.
Yeah.
The Amonim Lecha'ira were from the east. They were the east, right? The Jordan side, the east. The Ashdodim were along the Mediterranean. So they were along the Mediterranean. That's the west. That's the Ashdodim. So these were different groups, these are different nations, groups of people that were living in the region that were very disturbed with Koresh's proclamation that the Jewish people can return. And now they're here for a number of, how they're here now for about 25 years. Nehemiah is arriving on this and he wants to make things better by building a wall. They were very disturbed, so they conspired and they made this rebellion and they wanted to prevent them from building the wall and the lasso slow toa, and to cause the Jewish people to wander, to make mistakes, to go away from the derech of serving Hashem and feeling secure in the land. What was the response? The response was, we prayed, tefillah, and v'nabed nishmor aleihem. Rashi learns, aleihem al haboinim. So you take, there are two words in the pasuk, aleihem and mipneihem. Aleihem is, we were determined to build a wall, we set up a guard to protect the builders, to protect them from mipneihem, from the enemies. Aleihem al haboinim, mipneihem, from the oivim. To look at the mitzudos in pasuk gimel. We'll go back to pasuk beis in the mitzvahs. V'lasos lo toa, lasos lishol bilbul hamachshava. Okay, so he learns toa means to cause them to get confused. Lios toa bedaito, to wander in their mind. Lebal yeda malasos, to cause a fog, confusion. They wanted to create a confusion in the Jewish people. They should not know what to do. V'namid pasuk gimel the mitzudos hemidu shomrim al haboinim. The mitzudos learns like Rashi. Aleihem refers to the builders. Mipnei sanbalat v'chaveirav, mipneihem is referring to the leaders of the enemies. Sanbalat, Tovia, Geshem, and the other people that were in these other nations. Okay, let's go to Pasik Dalit. Now here we have a poetic, very poetic expression. Nehemiah is writing poetry and he's describing the feeling that Klal Yisrael is experiencing at this moment in time. Obviously these next two psukim are packed with secrets that are applicable for all generations to understand the matzav of Klal Yisrael in Golus, and I guess in the situation we can find a solution how to deal with the situation. Vayomer Yehuda. So Yehuda is a reference to the entire Klal Yisrael. Interesting, he does not call them the Yehudim, he calls them Yehuda. In the Megillah, which took place, well, that depends. When did the Megillah take place? Story of the Megillah. We started off to say from Nehemiah, according to Rashi, the story of the Megillah already happened. But according to Tosfos, the story of the Megillah did not yet happen. Very big nafmina between Rashi and Tosfos. Did this take place before the miracle of Purim, or did it take place after the miracle of Purim? Rashi is very clear that it took place after the miracle of Purim. It was the 20th year of Daryavish. 20th year of Daryavish is... Wait, I'm sorry, I take that back. According to everyone, it took place. Everyone, it took place after the Megillah. I'm sorry. The question was, shortly after the Megillah, did it take place a significant time? So according to Rashi, it took place a significant period of time after the Megillah, about 20 years. So 15 years after the Megillah. According to Rashi, it took place relatively, according to Tosfos, it took place recently, not long after the Megillah. But Vayomer Yehuda, here we'll call them Yehuda, not calling them Yehudim. In the Megillah, then the Jews are not called the Yehuda. The Jews are called Yehudim. And here this is taking place after the Megillah, we're calling them, the Jewish people calling them Yehuda. Vayomer Yehuda, I guess that's because they're living in the land. When the Jews are living in Babel, they're living in Golos, they're living in Paras Umadai, then the Jews are called Yehudim. When the Jews now are living back in their land, living back in Eretz Yisrael, they made Aliyah, they returned, and now they're actually back, so now they're once again called Yehuda. They're called, what? A nation Yehuda.
Judea.
Right.
Vayomer
Yehuda. We're calling to the
place.
No, but we're referring to the people in the place. It's not just, I mean, the place is not what's important.
It's also Judea.
Right, so we're calling it by the nation, by Yomer Yehuda. That's a very interesting point. We're not calling it by the people, individuals, Yehudim. That's true when you are in Golis, you call Yehudim, but now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael and they're building the Mechitz, we're called Yehudim. Yehuda, Koshal Koyach HaSabol. The koyach, the might, the effort, the energy of the sabol means the one who carries the porters. have stumbled. The one that bears the weight, the yoke, the weight of the Jewish people has stumbled. The ha'afar harbe. There's a lot of earth, a lot of earth that needs to be put in place to be restored. V'anachnu lo nuchal livnos bachaman. We are no longer able to rebuild the wall. Now, on a very simple level, pshat, it means the people, the sabel means there were specialists who were able to carry very heavy stones. Everyone, like today, we have cranes and all different types of trucks and all different types of technology that are involved in lifting heavy stones. In ancient times, to lift heavy stones, you needed to be a gibar. You needed a certain group of people which were specialized in lifting stones. They were called the sabol, sovlim, people that can carry heavy loads, can transport very heavy stones to a proper location to be put into the wall. Their koyach has stumbled. It doesn't say it's been sapped. It's toshash, that they're weakened. It's a different expression. Koshal means someone has done something to you to cause you to stumble. If it would say toshash, I'm weak, I'm old, I'm tired, I don't have the koyach. That's a very different expression than koshal. Koshal means I have the koyach, I'm able-bodied, I'm strong, but some enemy has gotten in my way and has caused me to stumble and fall. So koshal, koach, the power of the sabol, and there's a lot of earth that needs to be put into place to build the walls, but we're no longer able to do so because we are weak. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik dalid. Vayomer Yehuda kach hayu oimrim umisoinim an Yehuda. The following is what the people of Yehuda would say and would complain. Koshal koyach hasabol hasoivlim veoimsim. Now we're going to have the word oimsim later in the parak. Oimsim, as far as we are concerned, I don't have a good difference. It's the same thing as sabol. Okay, there are two words which mean the same thing as far as on a very simple level. People that carry heavy loads. In this pasuk, we only have one mention. We only have the word sabol. We only have sabol, but later we're going to have both words, soivlim and oimsim. Now, where do we have the word oimsim? We have it by Yosef and his brothers. Vayam isu es chamoirehem. When Yosef gave his brothers bar, grain, to take down with them to Canaan, to Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayam isu es chamoirehem. They loaded up their donkeys. They took the grain, all of the grain, because there was a famine in Canaan. They went down to Mitzrayim to purchase grain. The grain that they received from Yosef, they loaded onto their donkeys. So maybe you can say similarly, the word sabol is used in reference to a person carrying a load on your own back. And vayam isu is a term which is used when you put the grain, when you put the load on your animal, when you put it on the beast of burden, not on yourself. I saw one of the other commentators that the word sabol refers to a cushion. Because when you carry a load, you carry heavy, so you don't put the load directly on your shoulder. You first put a cushion to interpose between the stone and your shoulder. So that's the sabol, and on top of the sabol goes the actual load. That goes the oimes, the Amusim, they carried loads, heavy loads. They carried heavy loads. So we carried those. So you see this, so it means a heavy load. Also, sometimes the sin, you exchange the samach with a sin. So that we'll have later on. But the point of it here is that Rashi says, those that would carry the stones and the wood, nichsholu, they have stumbled in their strength. They no longer have the strength to build the wall. Next Rashi, the offer harbe, adayin yesh tit v'chomer harbe. There's a lot of clay and chomer harbe. Litein bebinyan hachomer. This means to say, Shadayin Hamalach Gedoyel Oleinu. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Live nice. Vanachnu Lo Nucha Live nice. B'chaim Abnei Pachad Ha'ivim. We can no longer continue because we are afraid. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but we are afraid because we're afraid of our enemies. And let's see the mitzvah. There's a very powerful pasuk. See the mitzvah. How we touch the pasuk. Pasuk Dalet Vayom Yehuda. Nechemia misaper, he's relating the koivel and complaining al hadvarim asher savuhu that has surrounded him. This is surrounding about, he's complaining about the situation. What is he saying? The Yehuda has said, meaning the Jewish people, hine, behold, meroiv ha'avoida, due to the abundant work, kivar nechlash koyach anshe hasabel. People already are worn out. People have already gone worn out from the amount, the enormous amount of work that they have already invested in this project of rebuilding Yerushalayim. They offer hamitztorich loseis v'lishrich b'choy mahalim rubihi, and there's a lot of work that yet needs to be done. Next, vanachnu. We are unable to build because of the fear of the enemy. Okay, so this is a very simple interpretation. Now, it is a medrash in Eicha. Okay, let me read you the medrash. Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Yirmiya, Arba Dvarim Atishim Koicha Shalada. There are four things that weaken a person. Notice the word of the medrash is Toshash. I pointed this out. The word of the pasuk is not Toshash. It is Koshal. Koshal is very different than Toshash. Toshash means when you're physically weak. You're just worn out. Koshal is you stumble. You stumble because someone puts a stumbling block in front of you. An enemy causes you to stumble. Here they stumbled because there was so much opposition. There was a kesher. There was a conspiracy. Like all of the surrounding nations, the United Nations of the time, have tried their hardest to cause the Jewish people to stumble. That's why they fell. They were unable to proceed. But
they were being attacked.
They were being attacked. There was a war. There was a war. It says explicitly, "Lavo li lachem b'Yisrael." No apologies. There was a war. They went to war against Yerushalayim.
People going out and bringing in materials were subject to the...
It was sabotage. They were, so it's not a matter of physical weakness, of being worn out to a natural process. It was they were prematurely put to an end due to what the enemies were putting upon them. So, but here the Medrash says, the Medrash does not go with that approach. The Medrash says that there's no difference really between the word Koshal and the word Toshash. Okay, that's number one we have to understand. The Medrash is going a little bit off the beaten track. We're not going to make a difference between the word Koshal and the word Toshash. So Ritachan Rabbi Yumi says, Arbadvar Matish and Koycha Shalada Meluhain Atainis, constant fasting. Number two, the halicha baderech, travel, person travels. Number three, ovon, sin, a person sins. Sin wears a person out. Very interesting expression. A person constantly sins, he's worn out. Umalchus bavel, here is what we need. Malchus, the government, when the government harasses you, constant harassment by the government officials against the Jewish people is something which can wear out the Jewish people. The Jewish people, in the big picture of things, Klal Yisrael can be worn out through fasting, worn out through travel. I guess that means Golus.
It means Golus.
Golus.
That just might be one of those.
Moving from place to place, and then sin. Our sins cause us to wear out. And harassment by the secular government. And which government are we referring to specifically? Bavel. And the Gemara Malchus Bavel, Tainis Tachsev, it says, Birkai Koshlu Mitzom, a pasuk in Tilim, my knees have stumbled because of due to fasting. Haderech Tachsev, it says, there in Tehillim, Ina Vaderech Koichi, the Derech has afflicted my Koyach. Ina means afflicted, through travel my Koyach. Ovoin, Tachsev Kosh, my koyach has stumbled due to my sin. Malchus, here is the post that the Medrash quotes from Malchus. The koyach, the offer harbe, so the sabol refers to Bavel. It refers to the koyach Okay, koyach hasab. Okay, the koyach
here, from which that bottle was taken here, has nothing to do
with bottle. Oh, so that's the question.
It's a
Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab explains that, and it's not because we had this before as well. I don't remember the details. We had this in the end of the Daniel, I think, and we had this in Ezra. We had this before. Is that this is still called galus bottle? Why is this called galus bottle? Now, really, we're now way past galus bottle. We're now in Golas Modei Uparas. But sometimes Modei Uparas wasn't a clean sweep. They didn't just come and knock out Bavel. Okay, Bavel, you no longer exist. Here we are. Paras took over. They were the world dominant thing. They dominated the world. But they let Bavel operate under them as a surrogate. So the Jews themselves still consider themselves to a certain degree to be continuing. It's a transition. On the one hand, it's Golos Paras Umodai, right? You can't deny that. But on the other hand, Paras Umodai, it wasn't just a clean break. Golos of Modai Uparas was a continuation of Bavel. Bavel was a surrogate for Modai Uparas. And therefore, the Medrash very clearly, Rabbi Tanchuma, Echarabah. I mean, I'm not making this up. It says here, and it's a pasuk in Ezra. Pasuk in Ezra also says Bavel. There's a pasuk. I don't remember. It's in Daniel Ezra.
But
yeah.
If it were another Golus, let's say Golus Ezra,
yeah,
not be the same result. Would it be the same result?
Absolutely.
So it's
but from really, the time.
It's really a general statement.
Okay, absolutely. I'm just coming to define the words of the Medrash. Why? But just the Medrash does say the word. You have to deal with the Medrash. Rabbi Tanchuma, it's a Tanchuma. Rabbi Yirmiyah, I don't know if it's a Tanchuma. This is Echarabah, but he does say Bavel. Umalchus Bavel. So how do you deal with it? The Gemara and the Medrash Rabbah quotes this pasuk, Hinei Koshal Koyachasabel, in reference to Bavel. But it's not Bavel. We're dealing with Paras.
So look at the length you have to go to make it fit. So
Okay, fine. But one thing we do see very powerful. We do see a very powerful concept. And the Medrash says, don't take this pasuk literally. We learned Rashi, and we learned the Mitzvahs. Rashi is doing something that's not typical for him in the Divim Ksuvim. Rashi always, not always, 99% of the time, will take a pasuk, and if there's a Medrash available, he'll explain the pasuk, we'll see the broader context. And what's in it for us? What's the message of the pasuk? He'll find the Medrash, and explain the pasuk based upon a medrash. That's not what Rashi does here. Rashi takes the pasuk and makes it very simple. Here we are, Nehemiah is building the walls, and the people are very weak. The people are suffering. Nehemiah is doing something that's also very unusual. He's giving his homiletics. He's saying this beautiful expression, Vayomer Yehuda Koshal Koyach Asabol Ve'ofor Harbei V'Nachlo Nuchal Liv Nesbachan. There's something going on over here. And Rashi goes out of his way. No, it means very simply that they're being harassed. They're no longer able to continue freely to build a wall because of what's taking place. And they're weak. They're in trouble. But the Medrash makes it very clear that this pasuk is an expression that is related to Golus. The whole mahus of Klal Yisrael and Golus is we are in a situation of we're weak. Koshal koyach hasabel. We are the nation that is makabel the oil malchus shemayim. The burden is not the burden of carrying a heavy stone to put in the wall of Yerushalayim. The burden is the oil malchus shemayim to carry the banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to make it be revealed to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this world, and everything that happens in this world is through His Hashgacha Pratis. That is what we carry upon our shoulders. The oil, Malchus Shamayim, that is the Sabbal. But the nations of the world are not letting us fulfill our mission, our goal. We have stumbled. Koshal koyach hasabol. And there's a lot more that needs to be done. V'he'ofar harbeh, which is symbolic of saying that there's a lot more that needs to be accomplished in this world to bring about the gilui k'v'oid malchuso, to bring about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hidden ways in this world. But we can't, because our enemies do not let us. V'anachnu lo yuchal livnos pachama. Yeah, Daryavish, yes. Daryavish definitely is here.
That's the weakness of Am Yisrael. It's the weakness of Daryavish. He hasn't got the strength to, he hasn't got the koyach to...
To tell these five nations to behave themselves.
Right.
Absolutely.
And coming from Koresh.
Yes.
Koresh, who had to get a letter from people.
They also have letters. It doesn't matter. The Nehemiah came armed with letters. They have everything they probably need. The law is in their favor. So what? The law is in their favor. We'll do everything. We'll still go to war. We're going to rebel. We do not want this to. We do not want the Jewish people. The law is in the favor of the Jew. It doesn't matter. They're still not going to let them build the Yerushalayim. They're still going to make trouble no matter at any expense.
But the difference between at the beginning when they just tried to stop them. And what you're talking about here is actual fighting and war and fear of being killed. Whereas it wasn't that way maybe 25 years before, and they were just putting up the mizbeah.
Okay, but they're still preventing, even though legally they're permitted to do what they're doing, to build the walls, and they have instructions from the king, and they have permission, they have even... The king gave him his assets to do the project. These five different groups do not want this. Okay, so I'm going to have to stop over here. But the point that's critical to learn from this pasuk, this beautiful pasuk, it's not just to be interpreted literally. This is a very beautiful pasuk which represents the entire situation that Klal Yisrael finds themselves in. In Golis, Sabal means we bear a burden. And the burden we bear is expressed in the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the concept of Kabbalah's oil, Malchus Shema, the yoke. Yoke means you carry on your shoulder a burden. And what is the burden? The burden is that Hashem is only our God today, will one day be the God of the entire world, will become known throughout the entire world. This is the mission, this is the role of Klal Yisrael. But Koshal, we have stumbled. Why has our strength stumbled? Because our enemies don't let us. We're in Golis. And there's a lot more that needs to be done. Ve'afar harbeh. There's a lot more work that needs to be done. Okay, so this is where we'll stop up the Pasuk 8.